Good afternoon. So I'm waiting for the slides to come up. There we go. I'm also the nurse manager for the immunization program at the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. And I'm a former school nurse leader and school nurse from one of the major cities in Massachusetts. So this project was very close to my heart. As you can see, it's a school located influenza vaccination clinics during this past influenza season. We started this program actually about a little over a year ago, and it was focused on promoting seasonal influenza in the school setting. We, at that point in time, didn't realize what really the year was going to look like with H1N1, and it ended up the planning benefited us tremendously with regards to our ability to then shift and promote H1N1 vaccine. So to give you an idea of what the demographics of Massachusetts looks like, you can see here we have 1,444,000 children that fall in the 6 months to 18 years of age. And of that, 1.1 million children of the age of grade levels K through 12. We also have about 2,100 school nurses in Massachusetts that are located in the 3,000 buildings across the state. At the Department of Public Health, we are very fortunate to have a school health leader in Ann Sheets, who has created what I like to call her machine, which is an organization that represents all of these 2,100 school nurses. And she communicates with them on a weekly basis. And so therefore, when we started to think about promoting this, we knew we had a vehicle to directly reach all those school nurse leaders and all those buildings across the state. In Massachusetts, we purchase influenza vaccine every year, so we're not just dependent upon the VFC doses that we receive. And we did expect that our vaccine would be coming early, as we were told, and we expected to have an adequate amount. So for the 2009-2010 influenza season, we actually purchased 885,000 doses of influenza vaccine. That actually was 10% more than we had purchased in the previous year. And I negotiated to get hold of 80,000 doses and planned on using those doses to be administered in the school-located clinic settings. In order to get this off the ground, our medical director hosted a forum in March of 2009, and we invited three of the communities that had launched school-based, school-located programs in the 2008-2009 influenza season. We talked about their successes, the lessons learned, and what remaining barriers that they were able to identify and were looking for some assistance on. As I said, we had the 80,000 doses, which were a 50-50 split between LAIV and TIV of seasonal influenza available for these initiatives. And the Massachusetts Department of Public Health Immunization Program outreached to not only the school nurses, but the local boards of health in our state in order to participate in promoting these school-located influenza clinics. It's important to note that in Massachusetts, we say that 100% of our children are vaccinated in their medical home. We do not have public health or local boards of health vaccinating school-aged children. So this was going to be a major challenge. By the time I was done, by June, I had 116 of our 351 communities in the state interested in offering seasonal influenza. By the time we actually got into the season, and with the delays in the vaccine arriving and the complications of H1N1, it actually dropped to 86 that actually offered seasonal influenza in their schools. We had various approaches. We didn't dictate or set out any expectations on how this would get done. We asked each community to look at their dynamics individually and build their plan accordingly. So we saw many combinations of school nurses taking the leads, local boards of health taking the leads, and also the public health nurses stepping in and assisting the school nurses in the process of delivering these clinics. We saw communities that took on single schools, took on the whole school systems, took on grade levels, some that were uncomfortable with vaccinating elementary school children. We saw them looking to do LAIV clinics only, TIV clinics only, and we also saw them doing variations of both TIV and LAIV. We saw that they would look at any combination of grade levels, and we just asked that they do what they felt they were comfortable doing. Our motto was, any child that was vaccinated in the school is probably a child that wasn't getting influenza vaccine through another method. So we were just basically encouraging to do whatever they chose to do. And as you all know, in April of 2009, it was actually April 24th, Massachusetts had its first case, confirmed case of H1N1 influenza. And at that point in time, the dynamics of our plan started to shift dramatically. In Massachusetts, we knew that in order to accomplish vaccination of the 6.2 million people in the community, in the state, that we were going to have to look at the non-traditional vaccinator sites. I also heard Ann Schuchat this morning call them the non-medical vaccination sites. And we knew that we needed to expand our vaccinator capability. Therefore, under the direction of our commissioner, we had emergency regulations to permit certain healthcare providers to administer vaccine. This is not normally seen as part of their practice. We expanded it to pharmacists, paramedics, dentists, medical, and nursing students were also included. All of this in the regulation required that each one complete a specialized training and that protocols were set up according to how the dynamics of their clinics would be run. For example, paramedics needed to have approval from their medical director in order to run clinics, and therefore their medical director basically held, if you want to say, the level of liability for their ability to run the clinics. It looks like I'm praying here in this picture, but actually this is one of the vaccinator trainings that we did. We set out, and early on in August, we set out and we did 34 regional four-hour training and practice sessions. We developed competency checklists for all of these trainings, and we had 623 participants, all of those pharmacists, paramedics, and dentists that were in attendance. The paramedics, we actually put a model of train the trainer in place. We have five regional districts in Massachusetts that the paramedics belong to, and we actually pulled all those district leaders in, and we actually trained all of them, and then they were allowed to go out and train, use our tools to train the paramedics that worked for them. Through the help of Ann Sheets, a program that she funds at Northeastern University, the School Health Institute, we set out to now educate and promote influenza vaccination in the schools by first off running three regional H1N1 sessions. And these were informational sessions. It was hugely important that we bring them up to speed quickly. And as you can see, 461 school and public health nurses attended these informational sessions. During these sessions, we gave them the updates on how clinic operations, what the expectations were around H1N1 vaccine and its arrival. We also had, there were 30 schools that had offered influenza vaccine in the schools in the previous influenza season. So we took varying representatives of those 30 school systems and brought them in to do a brief presentation on their lessons learned, the models that they used. Then from there, we did 11 vaccinator refresher courses. And I can tell you, I did a very large amount of them, and my feet killed me by the end of the day. But needless to say, we got 542 school nurses to attend these vaccinator refresher courses, again, with the checklist and competency checking, so that they were comfortable vaccinating children, and they had the information that they needed around documentation, as well as vaccine storage and handling. We also provided all of these presentations online through the School Health Institute, at which point 99 nurses completed the presentations and received the CEUs from the program. We also conducted online courses and offered CME modules through the Massachusetts Medical Society. The slides, along with quizzes, forms, template, and resources, were located upon this website. And as you can see, the credit for 300 modules were awarded. So basically, 300 people, again, took that online course and completed and received the 3 CME credits. This gives you an idea in sequence of actually the communities that offered school-located H1N1 influenza clinics during the 2009 H1N1 monovalent influenza initiative. As you can see, the first date here is November 24th of 2009. We really tried to get to stick with the priority list, which meant that the week after Thanksgiving, we allowed school-based H1N1 influenza vaccination to start to occur. And as you follow through, all the blue are the communities that offered these vaccines. This is December 14th, January 4th, January 11th, and the final outcome was all but 3 of the 351 communities in Massachusetts offered a school-located H1N1 influenza clinic. So as you can see, we like to think it was a great success. Thank you. And the outcome, I think, is somewhat reflected here. As of the April 2nd rating of the BRFSS, I think I said that right, Massachusetts had a 60.3% compliance rate for children between 6 months and 17 years of age receiving H1N1 vaccine. Our lessons learned: promote collaboration within your community. Encourage communities to determine what works best for them. Offer technical assistance and tools to facilitate clinic operations. Next steps for us will be to build on this experience to maintain sustainability, work to remove any opposing barriers, and seek mechanisms to obtain reimbursement in the non-traditional vaccinator settings. My co-worker, Donald Lazorek, will actually be presenting on that third bullet tomorrow, I believe, in the 10 o'clock breakout. So here are the people that were on the abstract with me. Ann Sheets, as I said, she's the director of the School Health Unit at the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. Glennis LaRosa, who is our senior public health nursing advisor and also oversees the EP nursing component at the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, all of which were instrumental in pulling this off. And that's it. Thank you.
We'll go ahead and take questions, and then I have some announcements. Any questions?
The question was around cost and reimbursement for the H1N1 initiative. I'm sure many of you are aware of the FIR funding that was in place with regards to the public health emergency response funding. So all of our 351 communities received some level of funding. We did get an agreement, a temporary agreement with our insurers, similar to what Judy was talking about, that allowed for reimbursement outside of the medical home if they contracted with one entity called Commonwealth Medicine, who became the holder of the insurance contract, if you want to say, so that every school district or every community didn't have to get enrolled with all of the carriers. So this kind of facilitated that piece. It seemed like it was going to go quite well. Unfortunately, one of the complications was if you received FIR funding, the messaging was that you could not then get reimbursed for the administration of the vaccines. Having said that, it's now led to the work that Donna Lazorek is doing and Dr. Susan Lett, our medical director, in that we have legislation in place right now for, and part of it is first dollar coverage and part of it is reimbursement in the non-traditional, the non-medical setting outside of the medical home. And we're actually looking to take what we learned here and pilot it with some of the communities in Massachusetts to actually see this start to roll out. So you're right, in order to actually have this, any level of sustainability, lessons learned from so many other school-based influenza programs, is that the sustainability is lost without the funding. And our hope is that somehow this is like a perfect storm for Massachusetts, that our legislation, the legislation that's in place, the positive experience of H1N1, the ability to actually see the outcome and you know, to actually feel the accomplishment and ride on that enthusiasm, we're hoping will kind of come together and allow for us to make a successful pilot of the reimbursement process as we move into seasonal influenza next year.